Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows this song, sing along.
Oh yeah, and anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
Kate picks you up in the
last week, but anyway, we're here at another week, and that's a good week to be here, you know. Especially, you miss a whole week, all kinds of stuff like that piles up, little incidents going on, you know. And in the meantime, Leonard Peltier still sits locked up by the invasive species, who runs around and cries and tells everybody the other countries have human rights violations. They're locking up people for no reason. They're blah, 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 you know. And those Americans they busted in Russia and in other countries, they were out of line for being there. So they deserve to get locked up over there, you know. I've been all over. I got locked up one time. Wasn't my fault, but I got locked up, you know, for counterfeiting, you know. And you know how the story goes. You know, Lakota don't have bad luck. He don't have no luck at all. But anyway, you know, Leonard Peltier is still in there, you know. And I doubt if he gets out. People are always making it sound like, yeah, he's going to get out, blah, blah, blah. I've been hearing that for years. The poor guy is sitting in there. And unless you've never been to prison, you don't know what he's going through. I tell you what he's going through, though. He gave up a long time ago. That's what you do. You don't believe nothing until you're actually out the door. Until you get out that door, the rest is just a dream. So he's already accepted the fact that he's done. So he's just in there doing his thing and, you know, whatever. You know, he ain't in there, you know. People don't understand. Your brain adapts to everything. The most brilliant thing about human is normal human is we adapt to anything, you know, and it's a beautiful thing when we can adapt to things. We can adapt to losing an arm. We can adapt to everything that's going on with us. We can adapt to prison, solitary confinement, you know. I've adapted at Sundance. No food and water for 4 days. If your brain is strong, you can adapt to anything. Leonard Peltier adapted to that. And it's a sad thing that this country allows them to keep our brother locked up like that. You know? It's a shame that we're so little and set some peons that we can't walk over there and get him out. I can't do it myself. Do it yourself. But there's 5 million Indians that are supposed to be, you know, documented Indians, plus all the ones that you know, indigenous all over the world, down south and everything, that don't know it, you know. Anyway, we could talk about that. I don't want to spend too much time on that, you know. And I was tripping on, you know, Moscow got attacked by terrorists. They said it's ISIS. And the guys, they caught them headed to Ukraine. I tell you one thing about Russians, and the U.S. is saying, yeah, they were pretty beat up. You know what? Them Russians don't have hijackings. Why? Is because they know how to deter it. And when you get busted over there, Russians, if you hurt a Russian, you're done. Russians are free over there. The Russian government don't attack their own kind, like people say. I seen Russians headbutt cops right in the mouth. And the cop just pushed him away and said, you know, the cops can't do nothing to their citizens or they'll go to jail. Anyway, but if you hurt a Russian, you're going to get beat up. And those guys are lucky they ain't sitting there with their arm chopped off. They're lucky they're not sitting there with a box with their mother's head sitting in it. Because when you mess with them, that's what happens. And you know what? Terrorism is wicked. So they deal with it like that. This country acts like they don't do that. But what about? What about Guantanamo Bay? I say Guantanamo Gay. I meant Guantanamo Gay. Anyway, that's just me again, you know. But let me go through some of this stuff, and then we'll take out. But just mentioning that. The other thing I was thinking, I have seen this Ukrainian chess player. She's griping about Saudi Arabia. Because if she goes to Saudi Arabia, they make her wear a abaya, or she has to wear all that head stuff and all that. And then she says she can't leave. She has to go leave. She can only leave with a male companion. She's griping about it, but she's Ukrainian. She's racist. That's being racist when you attack another culture. That's their culture. Culture is beautiful. When you go around the world and travel and see other cultures, you say, wow, man. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to hear other languages. Not everybody's supposed to be speaking English, you know, except people that like vulgarity, you know. But that's racist. That's racist. That isn't women's rights. The women are saying, oh, she's standing up for women. You know what? She's standing up for racism. And what got me is there was Indian women that were jumping on her side because they can't think. They're overlooking the racism. We can't go around the world, you know. What if Lakotas went around the world and told them, you got to all be Lakota? We don't want that. You can only be Lakota if you're born Lakota and if you have honor to be Lakota, you know. And same way with other tribes. But you see, the American and Christian, they want to beat you into being one of them. Anyway, that's just another thing to talk about, you know. And then I was tripping on Deb Haaland. She's in charge of, you know, the Secretary of Interior, in charge of what goes on in the country, land, et cetera. And the government planned on killing millions of owls because they're calling them invasive species to the other owls. Well, how do we know what's going on there? You know, I mean, Wakantanka makes everything happen. You know, we can't go around killing animals because we think we know best. But the Washita always thinks they know best. But anyway, Deb Haaland, she's supposed to be a native. I understand she's German, Dutch, and from Netherlands, her dad and all that. I understand that half of the part. So I expect her to be... I expect her to be, you know, kind of weird, you know. But that native side of her, the indigenous side of her, we are close to Wakantanka. And more is expected out of us. More is expected out of us. Being a pipe carrier, Da Chanupa, you know, carrying Chanupa and Sundance, and there's more expected out of us. There's more expected out of you because you're indigenous. You know, it's expected that we protect all life on earth. It's expected that we protect and defend Unshi Maka. You know, it's expected of us to be this way, you know? And she has that one half side. So why the hell is it even on her desk? She's in charge. She could go over and tell me, you ain't killing no owls. he could tell, go and walk in right in Biden's office and sit down and tell him, you know what, you guys ain't killing no owls. You know, amongst other things, she should have been the one to set Leonard free a long time ago. I guess she don't have no juice. When you join the American cult, you really don't have no juice. You just think you do. We can talk about that too. And, you know, I was thinking about Christianity among indigenous. You know, it's really crazy because we're not from Israel, the Middle East, and all that. We have our own spirituality from way before the invasive species showed up. It's not meant for us to walk their way. It's not meant for us to carry a cross on our chest and carry a Bible. It's not meant for us to be that way. It's not meant for us to be two-faced, to talk about thou shalt not kill and then drop bombs and killing people, you know? I mean, I don't even want to go into back into Gaza, what they're doing over there. But I heard Donald Trump's son-in-law saying, talking about tourist attractions and all that. They need a, when they get rid of the Palestinians, don't let them come back because you need to, you know, it can be a good place, you know, for humanity. That's what he said. Anyway, and I was also thinking about the bridge collapse in, you know, in Baltimore. What made me feel bad is, you know, they treat Mexicans and everybody bad, but those are all Mexicans and central from down south, our relatives that died there. Well, I mean, this might kind of sound funny, but, you know, I can imagine them. They said they're sitting in their pickups, and that's why they crashed in. And I've been around them. And I was thinking about it, and I even got hungry because I know when they were sitting in that pickup, you know, they're the only ones that still carry lunch pails. And they probably sitting in there with some tortillas and making tacos and eating inside their car. That's what they do. Because I got real hungry thinking about them, you know. And, you know, I feel bad for them. Because, you know, they were sitting in their truck and went down with their truck. They went down with a tortilla and a taco. You know, muy bien. You know, but I'm not making fun of them. I'm saying indigenous people were people that respect food, water, and all the blessings of Waconconca. And then here's the other topic that I probably figure we're going to spend some time on tonight. But we've been talking about this on this radio show for a long time. I mean, we knew what was going on with GGC for years. We knew they were a bunch of bullshit. And I, you know, they say, don't talk about the dead. But you know what? Those ones that died weren't for the people. They were the worst. They were just like Washitu to me. They enjoyed telling another Indian, no. You can't. I won't let you. You can't have it. You can't be Abe. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't have a coffee cup. You can't have a tea. Who said you can have that patch? That's the kind of suckers that died and left. You know? I thought they were friends. I thought they were bros. But I seen as I went along, watched them showing up in Pipestone, being in AIM events, and showing up. And I realized when I have to show up with a gun and a knife to defend myself from my own AIM brothers at an event, then I know something's wrong. You see, that's how it is. Those guys run around packing guns, and they bully each other, and they act tough with each other. And I heard somebody, I read a comment on a post. And on this post, somebody was saying, calling it, talking about, you know, younger generations are listening and taking in what they say. And it makes them sad seeing lateral violence, infighting between our own. Tactics used against their opposition and enemies used on each other. Well, the person that was talking, if I remember correctly, didn't have no problem stepping on AIM chapter just because they said it was okay. Because they got rid of an AIM chapter, she stepped in on their place without even saying, man, you know I shouldn't do that because I'm gonna conflict with other Indians. She should even have went there. But I also seen pictures of these individuals standing next to Frank Paro, Clyde, and all these guys hugging up to them, sucking their ass. I seen that. I learned this about life. There's nothing more important than our own brother, our own sister, our mother, our father, our immediate family. When we start fighting other Indians to defend some other asshole Indian, then something's wrong with you. Like when some of our bros tore down that Columbus statue, a guy in GTC said, yeah, I hope he goes to prison. And I told him, what are you ratting now? You feel like a rat? He got all offended at me. I said, he's a native, man. What the hell? You want him in prison? We're tearing down a Clinton. You know, I jumped all on his shit. He was mad. They didn't like us. And you know what? They used to come on this radio show, and they says, and this guy, one in particular, Dave Ortiz, how was it? Say his name. He said, you know what? If so-and-so comes on the radio show, me and Frank are hanging up. He put Frank's name in everything. Me and Frank are hanging up. Why is he talking about that? So I jammed up Frank about that. Frank didn't even have the balls to say, you know what, I stand by myself. And then the other thing they say, well, he disrespected Clyde and Frank. Well, from what I know, Clyde's a big man and Frank's a big man. Who did they need some Rudy poop to defend them? If someone disrespects me, that's between me and them, right? You don't have to pick a side. I can handle myself because we're men. Now, if you disrespect my father, my mother, my immediate family, that's a different story. Or a relative. But when I start doing that, I must have too much, or I'm not going to say me, but whoever does that must have too many female hormones. It don't work that way. You defend yourself, your family, your tribe. And that was the other thing. Cares more about his tribe than he cares about AIM. You damn right. Let me tell you, the American Indian Movement was founded because city Indians were getting beaten and killed and murdered by the police. By the police. That's how AIM was founded. Our people went to Minneapolis with the chanchega, the drum, the chanupa, and our way of life. We took it to Minneapolis, and that brought pride to the natives, because Minneapolis had a lot of natives up there, one of the most native cities in the country, you know. I mean, all city, well, if you say, if you want to call natives, you can say L.A. because Mexicans in Texas, but they don't know they're native, you know. But Minneapolis had a lot of natives there. A lot of Lakotas lived in Minneapolis and other tribes. So our people went over there. And they brought that drum. And you look at pictures, old pictures, of all of them up there, Minneapolis and all of them. They all had short hair. When the American Indian movement showed up from Porcupine, South Dakota, came with braids, the drum, and everything. And that's what brought Indian pride back. Now, people can argue all they want, but I sat there and listened to Dennis Banks talk. While he was talking, Russell Means was behind him. Clyde was behind him. All these AIM, big AIM guys, I call, you can call them leaders, but really we don't have a leader, were standing there. And Dennis told how the American Indian Movement started. They were in a trailer with singing songs, Lakota songs, to keep warm. And they always used to sing. These guys were good at it, you know. Ted Means, Stevert Youngbear, and Tyrone Head are the ones who made the AIM song. But you hear New Agers saying, no, they stole that song from Montana. Or Idaho let them borrow the song, and they just kept it. But we're talking about 1968, 1969. When those tribes up there all over didn't even, they gave up the drum. They gave up being traditional. But we were still sun dancing. We were still having inipi. Now, I sound like I'm bragging about Lakota here, but I'm telling you the truth, you know. And if you're young, you don't know the truth. It's just like I was around in the 60s. It's ceremonies on the res. There was no pot, no peji. Nowadays, these new age, made cannabis too, you know. You know, these new agers are ignorant. And that's what we're having now, new agers. There's some strong ones, but most of them are uneducated. And most of them think they have a leader. So they listen to whatever somebody says. And then you hear them say, well, I was always told by the elder, by my elder, you know, they start that crap. I wasn't told. I witnessed. What I tell you is I witnessed it. I witnessed it. I lived in the city. I lived in prison. I lived all over. I witnessed it. And you know what? They said, GGC, we knew that already. But GGC is done. And we knew that. I knew that when they weren't defending Philip. You know, when Philip had a legal problem from another AIM chapter, GGC wouldn't even defend him. And common sense tells you why they're not being defended. They're not being defended because GGC didn't have the legal power they told everybody they had, you know. So that's what happened, you know. And I remember this, you know, Facebook, my time on Facebook. I seen GGC members arguing with other A members about football games. And I remember they had a 2 or 3 day fight over a football game. Frank Paro said, "Oh, okay, well, you're not AIM no more," since he is the big guy. "Since he don't like what you're saying, you're not AIM no more." What kind of crap is that? He playing God? He ain't God. We don't have no gods in our Wakan Tonka is God. We don't have leaders. We have wisdom. Who has wisdom? And who has respect? To be a leader, you have to respect people. You don't play God with people. I seen them deny people from being in AIM chapters for no reason. I seen an AIM chapter ready to get sanctioned, and then all of a sudden Dave Ortiz got mad at the girl and said, "Well, since it's like that, you ain't AIM no more." I told Dave, and I don't just brag. A lot of people heard me tell him to his face. I even asked him and Frank, "So which one of you is getting who? Who's taking it and who's getting it? You guys act like you're married." You know, why they, you know what I mean? First of all, one of the rules with the American Indian Movement that I noticed, you have to have some tribal affiliation. Dave Ortiz never had no tribal affiliation. He was running around claiming whatever tribe sounded good. I'm not saying he wasn't a native, you know? Not saying that at all. And I give him respect for the good things he did. That's how I met him. He's a good man. But suddenly, he got a little Mazda ska and started changing. If he met a Facebook woman, he changed. I remember he met one from ICE. She worked for ICE. Well, we didn't know that. But he was sure showing her off. She had big blonde Farrah Fawcett hairdo. "Hey, check my chick out," you know. That's the kind of dude he was. Even steaming the women, you know. And I hate talking about, you know, like I said, God. But we're talking about what's been going on and what happened in this radio show, how we've been doing this for a lot of years. And, you know, I used to do my own thing, you know. And I worked for Keeley Radio for a lot of years, you know. And anyway, let's take off here. I'm going off. My hair is standing up, and Tahunshi's here. And I'll let him take us off in a good way, because we always have to be in a good way, our mind.
Wana.
Tahunshi.
Wana. We'll say a prayer here, and then we'll get started. We'll take it over the top. And Bakanja Lakiena, Wakamaki, Sunkashloki, Matwaki, Chunke, Sunkashlam, which was on me, Woki was this ugly chanked. You think of Bakanja Lagalena, Wakamaki, Sunkashla. Now you could not go young Lenin Sunkashla, Naku, Wash Aki, which was on you, Jig Oki, that Sunkashla took text of Bakanja, Mushisha Oyum, Nish Ahunk, Makochaka, Hip Setch, Lenin Sunkashla. Chose on your ji, you ha hi huni un honke, you skin tukashla tukata ke o yonk te ahwe chichapolo, lech that. You gonna have to stick to mitaki o yon, ahu chayak chichin chichin, you know? You hila tukashla, who chose on it, woki. Now, la kota la glila machpani chapas tukashla, wochek a glump chakaki, lech that, the gushi shahoe chichelo, ala ian chante chatukashla, hoe chichapoko, no michi hopta no ke tukasha. We chose on it, or Yohila, Tunkashla, watching chap. You call on Kapias Tunkashla, Unshula, poet Tunkashla. Haho, Mitakias.
Oh, Mitakias, Pastelo. Sanshi, I wanted to mention a little bit more, and then we can go off there, but I wanted to explain a little quick history on this radio show. You know, years ago, it seemed like, now, come on now. Years ago, and I'm talking to everybody, okay? This goes to everybody. I don't want to have just a conversation with one or two people. This is for everybody. I was doing a radio show, and I'll try and make this as quick as possible. Well, anyway, suddenly, in them days, I was always trying to be respectful of other people and all that. And I did an event down in Texas. We went down there and blessed some caves and some things that had rock art on them. And me and Ben Carnes and some other good bros, Ambrose. So Texas AIM went down there to give us security. We didn't ask them, but they came. And I met some good dudes, Ben Nava and all of them. He comes up here in Sundance and met these guys. Really good brothers. Love them to death. And Dave, of course. And, in this time, we always use this word. We always say, Cherry Tasha. Simple man, Dave and them were simple men, humble. And I appreciated them. And, this is how we live our life, trying to be humble all the time. Nobody's better than another. I'm no better than you. You're no better than me. We're indigenous. We're Amesters. We're all the same level. Some of us operate on different levels, but it doesn't change the status that we carry within our heart. It doesn't change that. I might, Tanshi and myself, we sung that for years and years together. He's a fluent Lakota speaker. He's fluent. And I myself got taken away by the government, raised in the city. And Wakam Tonka brought me back and helped me relearn what I lost. And I still didn't relearn everything, I still have lots of flaws and all that. But I carried Chanupa and Sundance with Tahashi, my brother, and all of us. We sacrifice hard, no food, water, humblechow, sitting up there, pierced to tree, mosquitoes sucking at our blood. We did this stuff. We got close. And Tahashi is a blessed man. And he's somebody that right now, we're doing a show, American Indian Movement, the voice of the indigenous nation. Why do I say that? Because it's for all indigenous people. And indigenous people have their own way. We have our own language. We have our own way of life. We're not Americans. I heard one of them guys over there, Robert Pilot. Oh, that flag belongs to us. That flag don't belong to us. If it belonged to us, they won't be flying it at the White House. We took that flag from Custer, whipped his ass. That's what we did. You know? But you are carrying that flag not because of that. You are carrying that flag because you're an American. And you're using the Lakota's battle with Custer for your justification to haul that American flag into powwows and every other damn place, even Sundances. When these natives walk in Grand Entry, they're wearing dressed like military. Why are they doing that? Wearing that military costume, carrying that American flag. You know? We're suffering bad with Stockholm Syndrome. Well, I'm not, because I know what's happening. But anyway, so Dave and them, I got close with them, and, you know, they were all right, and I kind of knew them down the line at different events, Clyde and Frank and everybody. I just looked at them as other Amesters. I never looked at them as no gods, nobody. I just looked at them as members of the American Indian Movement that supported the American Indian Movement, that walked and sacrificed and were involved in protesting injustice in the American Indian Movement. That's how I looked at them. I didn't say, oh, man, there's our leader. Oh, man, that guy, ooh, you know who that guy is? Let me go run over and take a picture. I didn't look at him like that. I don't look at nobody like that, you know? Anyway, they asked me, well, Dave approached me to do this, do the AIM radio show, because another guy was doing this show called Wombly, of all things. They say Wombly Tate. Well, I thought it was Tate, you know, but, you know, he didn't even know it. And then he claimed he's Dakota. Well, if he's Dakota, why is he saying his name's Wombly? It should be Wombly, you know. But you see, nobody knows stuff. When you're running around faking, frauding, and pretending and all that stuff, you don't know what's going on. So anyway, I told Dave, I said, nah, man, I don't want to do that. I'm doing my own show, man. You know, he said, yeah, we need somebody, and you know, I know you, and we like you. And Frank said, yeah, you know, that'd be good. Anyway, I said, you know what? You know I'm an asshole, Dave. You know me, right? If you want me to run this show, I'm going to run it. That means I don't want nobody interfering or, you know, micromanaging it. Oh, no, you'll be fine, blah, 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 you know. So I said, well, I got to pray about it. So I waited, and I prayed, Neepy and all that. One day I said, yeah, maybe, because the way I think all the time is maybe the spirits want me to do it or they wouldn't ask me. Or maybe, you know, I always look at things in a spiritual way. So I told Dave, all right, I'll do it. And I did it. And been doing it ever since. And then one day he got mad at me. Well, first of all, he came on the show, and haters always call in once in a while. And he attracted a lot of haters. So haters came in and was calling them down, and I had to hang up on them and all that. So he said, I want the show to stop right now because he was under attack. He wanted me to stop the show right then and there just because of him. I said, hell no. I just kept doing the show. And then, so he got back, he got back. And then he got mad at me again. He was getting drunk. These guys get drunk and fall off the wagon. And he calls it going into the cave, you know. Anyway, they get mad at me and said, I can't do the radio show no more. And I told him, I said, you know what? I told you when I was started doing this show, I prayed about it, and I felt like the spirits blessed me to do it. So the only one's going to stop me, Walk on Tonka, and you guys ain't no spirits. So Dave got on everybody's telephone and told them, hey, we're boycotting the radio show. Don't listen to it no more. That's the kind of stupid idiot he is or was. Or maybe he is. I hope he's hearing me right now. You know, wherever he's at. They don't realize they don't have power. You see, that's the mistake people make. They get so big-headed, they think they got power. They don't. We don't have power. So that's how this radio show started. And when him and Frank, they started coming around, yeah, If don't put some Lakota woman told Frank, shut up. Why don't you shut up? Boy, Frank was butt hurt. I mean, I couldn't see him. He was on, but I know he was pouting Wachinko big time. You know? And I thought that was really funny that a grown man could be Wachinko like that, you know? And Dave said, you got to tell Henny to apologize. He says, I ain't telling Henny nothing. She tells me to shut up sometimes. What the hell's wrong with you? You know? I mean, they don't know the culture at all. These Amesters don't have no clue about the culture. And the ones that do are the important ones. They're the ones that withstand all the baloney. And I was real happy, you know, like when they tore that statue down and all that, I'm all for that, you know. When they try to tell me, that wasn't an AIM thing, what do they mean? That wasn't an AIM thing. Who are they? It's just like they were doing a Leonard Peltier march in L.A. And because those two were mad at the girl who was doing it, they were telling people not to support it. And Clyde got on the radio show. I was on the radio show with them. And Clyde said he would be there. He gave his word he was going to be there. So they paid for a plane ticket and everything for Clyde. And there Clyde bailed out on them because Dave and Frank got on them and said, that ain't the aim of it. And they started jamming Clyde up. So Clyde, like weak he was, didn't do it. After these poor girls hustle money for a plane ticket, and then the excuse he gave, oh, we have a funeral and a family niece or something, you know. You don't make up bullshit like that. And amongst a million other things. So, yeah, here I am talking, saying names. But I'm telling the truth. Because you know what? The American Indian movement was never meant to be governed by the Americans. Never meant. But when they took off silently went to Library of Congress, trademarked, and did all that stuff to make it a legal organization. They stole AIM. They stole it from the original guys who never thought like that. Because once you have a ID and you go under American, 501c3 and all their policies and all that, once you do that, anybody can join AIM, and you can't refuse them. They can be from China, wherever, Africa, from wherever. If you refuse them, you're violating discrimination and what do they call it? What are the amendments, you know? I'm not good on the
discrimination.
Amendments. What's that?
Discrimination.
Yeah, discrimination. I don't want to, we can't do that if you're, once you do that. So how are you going to keep outsiders out? You know, there's a white group, or Washichu, or pale face. They to call them white because they're not white. White is a good color, and they ruin the color white. So I got to stop calling them white, calling them pale face invasive species. But there's Africans, and ain't calling them black either because they're not black. They're Africans. Africans groups call, there's a invasive species group that made it, calling themselves the Black Panthers. And there's nothing they could do about it. Because once you get ID, you know, that's how it is. So anyway, that's how I am with that. And I have some lines open, I think, you know. And let me see.
All right, all right.
Who's that?
It's Phil from Ohio.
Oh.
AIM.
Oh, okay. No, I seen some names on, but anyway, anyway, it's open. Whatever you guys wanna say, but that's where I was getting at, because that's how I started this show, and that's how I feel about what's going on. And Philip,
yeah,
you're on. You know, I remember because I heard a comment, I read a comment talking about fighting and blah, blah,
oh, yeah.
This and blah, blah,
blah. Hold on.
The thing what I'm saying is calling that lateral violence. When this same person didn't care to step on your chapter because they said it was all right. You know?
Yep.
You see, right then and there, why are they talking?
And talking, let's put it, she is talking because nobody there in Minneapolis knows who she is or what she's done. They don't know that she backstabbed the Indiana-Kentucky chapter and Dave Ortiz gave her a chapter. They don't know that, and, you know, I got word from other people that were in the Grand Governing Council that she was running her mouth about me. They don't know that she also was one of the people that voted to unsanction my chapter. So, you know, the hypocrisy from this young woman really stinks to high heaven. Sit there and say, you know, and that's what they pulled on me too. That was one of the things that they tried saying in their little letter that they claimed that they sent to me, that I was active with lateral violence against another chapter, that I was disrespectful to women in leadership, and all this other garbage. Trying to discredit and being involved in character assassination of somebody that's been an a director of a chapter for 23, 24 years now.
Well,
so
the whole thing, Philip, you know, is what the American Indian Movement was about. The American Indian Movement was about all natives. And there was nobody playing God saying, no, you can't be AIM. Or no, who are you? You know, it wasn't like that. The American Indian Movement showed up. And even today when, you know, like at Wounded Knee, you see a thousand faces there that nobody knows or you don't know who they are, but they're still AIMsters. Nobody says, hey, who said you can wear that patch? But the ones that are always doing that, you know, have identity issues every time. Like that one that was trying to run Oklahoma AIM and her and Dave and all the affairs she had and all, you know, blah, 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 you know. But, you know, yeah. You know, and yeah, let's before you get married, let's hit the motel one more time, you know. You know, yeah.
Damn.
Seriously. I mean.
Damn. The American Indian Movement, like we explained to Philip, you know, there was in the beginning, in the very beginning, there was no leaders. There wasn't supposed to be any leaders. And if you believed enough in Lakota culture or native culture, I hate to say native, but Lakota culture, your culture, wherever you're from, and the injustice done to Indians, Lakotas, throughout north, south, wherever, and you could step up and use American Indian Movement to go against that. So there wasn't supposed to be any leaders because it was a group effort to stop this violence against Native people that was wide open. And like Kunshi said, back in the day, before American Indian Movement, a lot of these tribes throughout the United States lost their culture, lost their way. They wanted to be white. I lived through that era when we were picked on because we were Lakota. They made fun of us. They called us every dirty name in a book because they wanted to be American. They wanted to be white. But one thing that our grandfathers, our mothers, our fathers, one thing they instilled in us was that we were born Lakota. And we weren't going to change that. So be proud of who you are. Be proud of. So we got beat. We got, you name it. It was done to us. But yet we still hung in there. And I always talk about a guy named Pedro Bisnet. He was one of the first ones to stand up on our reservation. And he told those guys to fight back. To stand strong. He said, you guys are the landlords. He said, those guys, a lot of them have a lot of boat people in their blood. He said, that's why they're hating on you. He said, they're guilty. And he said, they're being brainwashed into this. So don't be afraid. Stand up. So we did. We kept on going. And The racism that we faced, any time we went to any one of these towns, or even Pine Ridge, for that matter, we had to fight. just to buy necessities to go home with. There was always negative things for Lakota people to go into these towns. But yet, there's a very few people that stood up and hung on to it. And when the American Indian Movement came about, Pedro was killed because he was the one that started the Indian Civil Rights Movement way back in the day. And a lot of people forget about Pedro Bisnet. But he was doing that before AIM was founded. And he, as a matter of fact, he's the one that made Lakotas proud of who they are. Told us not to run, not to be ashamed, to stand up. And that's what we did. No matter what happened to us, we still stood up. We hung in there. And then the American Indian Movement came up and came about. Then even then, a lot of these people that were brainwashed made fun of us. They condemned us. A lot of our own people. It split a lot of families up back in the day because they refused to be Indian. They refused to be Lakota. That's how brainwashed a lot of these, Montana, a lot of these other areas were. But we weren't ashamed of it. We hung in there. It didn't bother us. And we kept going. Then the American Indian Movement came out. Then you get all these other Indians coming in there. Remember, there's a guy named Raymond Yellow Thunder that got killed. And that's that protest over in Gordon, Nebraska. That's how that all came about. Was because of a guy named Raymond Yellow Thunder. And they protested because they killed him. And they made him dance in the hall, all these things with no clothes on. And they were making a mockery of us. And the Indians started standing up. Then all these other Indians start showing up because they were living through the same thing. That's how American Indian Movement started. And Ted Means and them, when they went to Minneapolis, that's where AIM, the American Indian Movement, came out. But it was way before then, it was on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. That's where all of this started.
Like I said, I was there.
No leaders.
When they were running this to people, how it developed and all this stuff, you know. And not one person said, no, that ain't true. That ain't true. They were all there, you know.
Yep.
And hold on now. And they were not saying nothing, you know. And if this was baloney story, they would have stopped him, corrected him right there.
Yeah.
He told what happened. Hold on now. We ain't on a personal call. We have to remember that in the beginning, like you said, these guys didn't have leaders. You know, Carter Camp was there. Leonard Crowdog was there. You know, Clyde and the rest of them, you know, Clyde and them. They were the ones that stood out amongst the groups. But they weren't there because they were leaders. They were there because actually the women were the leaders. The women were the one had them make the move, even to Wounded Knee.
Yep.
And all that. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of these guys, nobody even knows their face. Nobody knows their name. And when I heard them saying, oh, so-and-so, he's the last living founder of American Indian Movement. when one of them lives right down the road from me, you know.
Hey.
Bill Meese lives right down the road from me here, you know. As far as I see, he's still kicking pretty damn good and older than me and still doing pretty good. I was talking to him the other day, you know. They don't give credit where, you know, they're always saying, people take this and say, yeah, we're the ones founded there. We're the ones did this or we're the ones did that. You know, the American Indian Movement was done, took place with thousands of Indians, you know, and thousands of Indians showed up in Washington, Alcatraz, all over with all these events. So you're going to give credit to one man when there's a thousand others there?
Yep.
You're going to give credit to one man when like you said, Pedro and them died, you know?
Yeah.
You know, there's people that gave their, that lost their lives for things that happened with the American Indian Movement. And then we always hear them fighting over the AIM song, you know, when we know who made it, you know. Siebert Youngbear, Ted Means, and Tyrone Head, they made the AIM song. And people can make up all the stories they want, but these guys were singers. And they've been singing all their lives. Those other tribes had lost their way. After Little Bighorn, you know, the government came and took everything from everybody. But the Lakotas and a few other tribes managed to hold on to their culture. And you know what? That was for a reason. So now we have AIM. You have the New Agers, you, and all the old AIMsters are gone. And there's even Peckerwoods that run around claiming AIM. But you see what happened was in California, New York, and all over, these guys were out there, you know, doing stuff, partying or whatever you want to call it. And like when I remember going to Crow Dogs when I was a little boy when the hippie movement was around, all these hippies were at Crow Dogs.
Yep.
You know? All these Washichu, even running Hachola in the river and stuff.
Yep.
Our trees were saying, well, he, you know.
Yep.
And you know, there, but
yep,
a lot of them ended up staying there for all these years since the 60s. Now they're 60, 70-year-old men and women. and they're in AIM. They're stun dancers and stuff. Because when they showed up, when they had event, these guys, for some reason, they would go out and hustle sage and all that. They would, you know, they,
yep,
you know, I hate to say it, but they were being used for their lumber skills, their building skills or whatever, you know, the modern way. We had the old fashioned ways, but, you know, so we, you know. Tell me, yeah, go pick up, grab sage, go grab this, go cut pine, and they do it. So that's why they lasted. Same way with AIM. A lot of these Americans that run around talking about AIM, they'll throw names at you, and they'll talk about dates because they were there. And they were there because they, in the beginning, they all showed up for you know, they were hippies, you know. Can come sleep outdoors and camp out and run around and be free or whatever. But that's what it is, the way it is now. And the American Indian movement today, without GGC, it ain't going to fall apart. You know, it's, who thinks that AIM's going to fall apart because because of a few people that thought they had something going when they were 60, you know? You know what I mean? The American Indian movement is here. We're here right now on this radio show. I ain't no GGC. You know, Wayne ain't GGC. Philip ain't no GGC. And you know what? GGC didn't even have no Lakota representative.
Yep.
How can you have American Indian movement without Lakota in it when Lakota brought you that drum and brought you that chanupa?
Yep. I see. You know, that's what I was going to get at. I was going to tell them. Leonard Crowdog. AIM went to Leonard Crowdog. And that's how that was. Leonard Crowdog became the medicine man for American Indian movement.
Dennis went to Lekshi and gave him Opage for AIM. That's how they got that Chanupa. And they had, you know, because they gave Lekshi Opage. That's how AIM got the Chanupa. That's how they got, and the drum and the songs and everything, that all came. So why don't they have Lakota representative in GGC? Because they were now easy.
Yep.
I was there. Well, I wouldn't be GGC anyway because they even asked me, oh, you should have your own chapter. I'm not having no chapter. I'm not doing that. And, you know, but there's still Lakotas that are around, Amsters, and not one of them was on GGC. You see? But who are on GGC? Where are they at now? One guy likes to sit with his feet on the desk with three computer screens, hustling money, you know, with a PayPal account and running the natives for America voting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You see, that's where the American Indian movement drifted off to. You know, I seen that one girl that's supposed to run AIM. She said, we're having a meeting with a police chief tomorrow. Anybody has any questions, email me, inbox me, and I'll ask for you. You know? And when Frank Paro had that issue with Mike Forsha, you know, and Mike Forsha confronted him for being a rat, Frank Paro said, he called me up. He said, the cop called him up. The sheriff called him up. Well, what the hell does the sheriff got his number for?
Yeah. That's a very good question.
If a cop gets my number, I'm changing it. I'll get paranoid, too. I'll start peeking around. What the hell are they doing? You know? I don't want to. Just like, you know, we have issues lately. You guys know it, Wayne and stuff. You know, they asked me for my number. I said, you give me your number. You know? Talking about racism with Christy Noem running over there, calling our people working with the cartels, you know, telling the whole meeting in Winter, South Dakota that we work with the cartels, and not one of them society members in Winter stood up and said, hey, that's racist. Why are you saying that? So the whole town meeting was racist. Not one of them was against what he was saying. And now the cops all heard that. So the cops over there, when they see us, they think we're working with cartels.
And well, that's just to take the attention off her. Hey, hold on, Wombly. Yep. That's just to take the attention off her. It doesn't take much to just look at her and see that her pupils are always dilated. she's on a stimulant like Ritalin, or she's taking some type of anti-anxiety drug like Xanax, the highly addictive Xanax. You know, that heifer right there, she just needs to shut her mouth.
Yeah, but she ain't going to. You know, the thing about it is she's up there high in politics. But the people that listen to her have brains on their own. To listen to her or not to listen to her. But when you see the amount of invasive species that listens to her, then you know we got a big enemy out there that's trying to destroy us and wants us hurt. You know?
Well, that's part of their game for character assassination of a people, you know, that plays right into all the Wasichus that live up there. It plays into their racist mindset. It allows them to go ahead and continue acting the way they are and you know, continuing to vote for Kristi Noem. You know, she's doing this to get votes. But there's something that I wanted to bring up, too. You know, the story, one of the stories about the AIM song that I heard was that the song was actually for Raymond Yellow Thunder. And the story that I was told was that it was actually a Cree honor song that was gifted to AIM after his funeral. Nope. The other thing that I wanted to touch on too I wanted to ask you what year did AIM start? Because it was some interesting information that I found out
jump
from
on
the Federal Registry.
Let me jump on that one thing right now, because we're talking about 1969, 1970, and the thing with Raymond Yellow Thunder. And then you mentioned the word Cree. You know what? Up in Canada, those Indians up there lost their culture. They didn't. Right now, they're sundancing and having a neepee. And how did that happen? They came down in the 70s after AIM brought them down, and they showed up at our sundances. We had a bunch of them right there on Tehunshi.
Yep.
Show up at our sundance. And our people went up there and helped them start sundances up there. And no Cree even had a drum back in the 60s and 70s. They gave that crap up. Look at that singer on the band, what's his name, Robbie Robertson. He didn't even want to call himself Indian. You know? They were all, they took the, they were accepted, they called themselves white, Caucasian. You know? Until AIM showed up. So to say they that was a Cree honoring song, that's bullshit. They didn't even have no songs. They had nothing. They didn't even have a drum, you know. They gave up their indigenous ways for a long time, and that's why the American Indian Movement became so important to everybody. Because when American Indian Movement came, by that time, our people, Stiebert and them, they've been singing all their life. Nobody took the government couldn't take our drum from us. The government couldn't take our way of life from us. They tried. They beat us. Whoever went to school got beat for talking Lakota. And they tried. I got baptized Catholic. Don't mean nothing. You see, that's what they did to us. They forced us. But no matter what, they couldn't take it from us. Because when I was a little boy, I went around and heard them singing Lakota songs all the time. Yeah, when the Wasichu show up, they quit singing. You know, when the Wasichu show up, we say, "Oh, we're cooking rabbit." You know, you know.
Yeah.
When, you know, that's what happened. So the common sense here. Did the Crees even have a drum in the 70s? in the 60s?
Yeah, I wouldn't know that.
Well, they didn't.
They didn't.
They didn't.
They did not.
Because those guys from Canada, a guy from Canada, old guy from Canada was, you know, talking about how it was before AIM, and he really was appreciative of Lakota. The reason why they got a Sundance up in Canada was because one of them had a dream that he was fishing. And in his dream, a net flew out of the water, and one of those harpoons that they kept fish with stabbed him in the chest in his dream. So he freaked out and went and told his old people, man, you know, I had his dream and he was all scared. So they said, you know what? The Lakotas, Pierce, go down and talk to them about it. So he went down, and sure enough, that was their Sundance dream. So he Sundanced with our people for like 8 years, and then our people went up to Canada and helped them set up there. And this was a long time ago, in the 70s. You know? So in other words, before the 70s, they were listening to cowboy music, wearing cowboy hats. Yeah, that's what they were doing. You know? And getting drunk. Everybody knows that movie called Alkali Lake and all that, you know?
Yeah.
You know? Common sense. But Lakotas always had a drum. They always have, and it sounds like me and Wimber are here bragging all the time, you know, when we're not. You know, we're just sharing information about this stuff. And matter of fact, Ursula Youngbear's on here right now on the show, and her dad is the one who made the AIM song. Siebert Youngbear, Ted Means, and Tyrone Head. He lived right down the road here, Tyrone Head. And they made the AIM song. And how can you believe that? Because these guys are singers. They sang all the time. And that's why Dennis Banks, when he showed up here on the rest, the first thing he learned was how to sing. Because that's what Lakotas do. They sing. You know? So when you understand and have common sense, I mean, I could play a script here, but time flies too quick about how the AIM song came. Bill Means talks about how the AIM song was started. Anyway, hey, Mike.
Yes.
Yeah, is that Mike Forsha?
It is.
All right.
Well, I'll stay. But, Mike, you know, you might have heard us using your name here. And I don't care. I have nothing bad to say about you, you know. And matter of fact,
that's why
I'm proud of you because you guys were on your job. And you guys are on your job as AIMsters. And I remember, Mike,
probably
I won't spend a lot of time on this. I won't spend a lot of time on this about remembering. But I remember when Frank Paro got pissed at you over a football game, over football book or something. Am I right?
You
or
are.
Is that somebody else? And that happened a long time ago. And Frank had no business trying to tell you you're not AIM just because over a damn football game. I mean, am I right? Do anybody agree? Do they have a right to boot you out of AIM just because you don't go along with what team they own and whatever? You know?
Well, the issue he was trying to make that I was trying to make the point that there's a difference between the logo, and there's a difference between the name, and there's a difference between all that stuff. And I said, some of the logos that people have that they're using, I said, we don't have a problem with it. It's a piece of artwork. I said, if you took the North Dakota Fighting Sioux logo and put it for Red Lake, which has the Warriors, I said, people probably wouldn't have an issue with that. I said, but they would have an issue with the Kansas City or the Atlanta Braves logo. And Frank made some big old deal about it, and he didn't understand the point I was trying to make, that fans, it's go back to the reservation, or we're going to scalp the Indians, or the tomahawk chop. I said, that's the issue. I said, they should not be using our name. I said, they use our likeness and our name, not just for football and baseball, but they named their killing machines after us, the Apache helicopter, the Tomahawk missile, and then their cars, the Buick, the Pontiac, the Winnebago. I said, when is it going to stop? And then Frank made some big deal about it. But to be honest with you, the issue that started us getting unsanctioned was somebody put a post on my page called Gun in Her Mouth. If you look at a YouTube video called Gun in Her Mouth, there's a part in there where Russell Means is talking about who ordered Anime's death. Once that was posted on my page, that's when I had the target put on my back, I believe. And Bill Means told me straight up, the day I was elected chairman by all those AIM veterans, was the last time we had all those AIM veterans in one room at one time. He said, that's the day you got the target on your back.
Wow.
And then once that video got posted, that's when all the shit broke loose. And that's when we were unsanctioned. And they didn't want us to be part of the march for the Redskins. They didn't want us to participate in anything because we were no longer AIM. And to this very day, Frank and Lisa are going around telling people, and they still have the folder. They're pulling out pictures of me and my kids with our guns. And my kids have had guns since they were little, squirt guns, BB guns, pellet guns, 22s. And all of our guns are legal. We're not like that. They have their permit to carry. They went and got their training. And I said, yeah, so they have guns. He said, you guys were shooting up the Badlands. I said, I was not even there. And then you have Lisa going around telling people, I grabbed Dave Larson by the neck, threw him up against the wall at the Indian Center, and that I should never be able to do security in Minneapolis ever again, while she's crying. And that's the thing. They have the support of the hangers around the Fort Indians.
Yeah.
The ones who go after the funding, the ones so he can give them that rubber stamp. But we got AIM's approval. So I'm still fighting it. To this very day, still fighting those accusations and those charges that I'm dangerous to be around women and children.
You know what
I was really ridiculous about his accusations or her accusations about you around weapons is Frank is a convicted felon, and there's pictures of him around guys that have weapons, and he's not supposed to be around them. So I don't know what his problem is. He should, you know, those that live in glass houses could shut their mouth and stop throwing stones.
Well,
okay, everybody wants
riot.
To talk, but hold on real quick. We got to remember one thing. We're not Americans, right?
Yep.
If you want to be American, you can be American. But we're not Americans. So I'm an ex-felon under American law. But you know what? I don't give a crap. If I need a gun, I'll have a gun. I don't care about being legal or whatever, you know?
Right.
My point is, it doesn't matter who's legal and who's not. We do what we got to do. They came over here to invasive species, and they made everything we do illegal. They made it where I can't even drive a damn school bus, and I never had a drug conviction or nothing. You know? The point is, American law is against us.
Yep.
And they
yep.
they're turning Indians into ex-felons by the numbers every day for the most weakest thing. And
yep.
you know what? I agree. I can't stand perverts. I can't stand rapists. I can't stand when an Indian kills another Indian, you know. But those are things that we're supposed to take care of. When I was young, if somebody messed with my sister, I'd go beat the hell out of them, you know. But now
yep.
nobody has that kind of heart no more, so they call the cops, you know. We don't do that no more. We call the cops. You know, we let their influence of taking the law in our own hands. But who are they to have the law? But I don't want to get into that because time flies. But my point is we're on our own thing. And nobody is God. Those guys have no right to tell you, regardless of what the hell you said, and you put up a video, you were supplying information. It's an information video, you know. I mean, I've seen a lot of videos, and I can take what I want out of them or whatever, you know. And I learned one thing, that when Indians fight with each other, they will say anything to hurt each other. And in a lot of cases, these guys did that. When they got mad at each other, they started doing that. And that's what happened with it. And pretty soon there was autonomous aim and all this aim and all this fighting, accusing each other, ripping off, accusing this and accusing that, you know. But you know what? I remember about when Carter Camp shot Clyde in the belly. Clyde was ready to snitch. But Leonard Lakota's told him, don't do that.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
And you know what? And why did he get shot in the gut for? Because he was accusing Carter Camp of being an FBI informant and a snitch. That's their most favorite game, and that's what they do to you, Mike.
Yep.
They went back to that game. Here's a woman that was on Facebook just because all of a sudden she got some status. Well, I need to get me a body armor now. I need a bulletproof vest. Her head got so big she thinks she needs a bulletproof vest, and advertised it on Facebook. She don't really need it. She just wanted to tell people, I'm important now, you know. You see, and I jammed her up about that. She came over on my inbox, hey, giving me excuses, you know. I said, you know what? Our people don't need that kind of bullshit. Our people need not to be living with gods above us that are just person, because we have enough invasive species playing God with us. So when these guys, they were teasing all them, saying, oh, you ain't an AIM chapter. Who the hell are they?
Yep.
You see, that's my point, Mike. My point ain't why. It's like what I said. When they're saying, you guys are, this girl saying, oh, all this infighting and all this, you know. Well, here's how it is, Mike and Philip and everybody. If I like you, we work together. If I don't like you, I stay over here and you stay over there. But we're still brown as hell. You can't take that out of us. We're still Indians, you know. So, but
yeah, and then they call defending, when I'm defending myself, they call it lateral violence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
and
what
that's she pulled on me.
Washichu-minded people doing stuff like
that. That same girl when they told her you can have an Indiana chapter, she jumped on it, knowing she was stepping on somebody else's toes, somebody else's. You know, you don't do that. Once you do that, you're a rat. I would never step on another Indian's, you know, turf or whatever. I mean, we don't have turfs. We don't have borders. But what I'm saying is step on their feet, you know. We already have an AIM Indiana chapter. We already have an AIM Ohio chapter. We already have Minneapolis chapters. Why? Just because you're mad at one of them, you give somebody else the same chapter and make them
That's
feel
exactly
more validated than you? How with that? Once they did that, I was through with them because I had my Canadian bros come down and try to get a chapter down here. Clyde bullshit it and lied. You know? And these guys were real Indians. They go to sweat. They brought me moose meat. They live traditional life. And here we are giving AIM chapters to Hawaiians. I'm not saying nothing bad about Hawaiians, but I mean other people. I mean, Dave Ortiz don't have no tribal affiliation. You know? What the hell's with that? You know, and a whole bunch of people, they just, what they do is they give it. Once Dave got in, look at the women he gave chapters to. Suddenly the women showed up with mile-long eagle feathers, wearing, first time ever wearing ribbon skirt, and not understanding that everything's Wakan. They don't understand spirituality in natives that they want to. And they learn an AIM song, so they think they're traditional. Me and Tehunshi Vember could get on here and sing you 50 songs right now together. We do this, you know? That's our way of life. Just singing the AIM song doesn't make us somebody to be seen. We don't do it to be seen. But I support you, Mike. I supported Philip when they were stepping on him. And I support all these people that were discriminated by other Indians playing God. Because we always started everything with a prayer. And that's why we start this show, Tanshi prayed. And if you notice one thing, when you hear him pray in the language, you hear him talk about Wakayansha, Wakayansha. Remember that word. He always speaks for our children. He always speaks for our youth. Prays for them. He always prays for the land too, and our, you know, the people who are here came before us and all this. But he always prays for the children, and we have children growing up right now. How's your children going to be out there, I asked our listeners. Are your children going to be Americans, or are they going to be natives, indigenous? You know, how are they going to be? Are you going to fly that flag and call it yours and wear their costume? You know? No. Veterans are people that fight for us, not fight for them.
Yep.
You know, we got to get that straight. And they use the word, the police are using the word Akichita. Tanshi will tell you what Akichita is. And these guys ain't Akichita. Akichita protects us over them. But they got it wrong. They're Akichita and they protect the invasive species. They protect their constitution. They, just because they got brown skin don't mean they're Akichita. Once they protect their constitution, they have nothing to do with us. And the American Indian movement got away from that. And I remember when Dave said to me, I hope they send him to prison. Talking about you, Mike.
He said,
yeah,
you
sent me that text.
Yeah, you seen it. It was no lie, right? He said that to me.
There was no lie.
And I talked to him on the phone about that. You know, I got onto his ass. My voice was shaking, and I even jammed up Frank. You know, finally they bailed out on me, and I didn't care. They bailed out on us on this radio show. They tried to boycott us. But you know what? We're indigenous, real. We still have our culture. We're the American Indian Movement. We're ancient.
Uh-huh.
And we don't need to be having an American ID like Robert Pilot. Robert Pilot was all proud showing his trophy or whatever he got from the police department, you know. Look what they gave us, you know. Shit, they only give me a warrant for my arrest, you know.
He actually told me that Frank Pero is, in fact, destroying the American Indian Movement. Those words came out of Robert Pilot's mouth to me.
Really? Wow.
They did.
Wow.
And, you know, talking about the police and what happened here in Minneapolis, I gave our new chief of police, several of us did walk through Little Earth, the projects, gave him a tour, talked about our collective problems with the police, and I told him what happened to me. I said, I know what it feels like to have a knee of a Minneapolis cop on my neck. I said, I want a $125,000 settlement from the city. He said, through his secretary, later that day, she called me and said, he wants to know if Minneapolis hires him as the chief, would I be the first one to speak for him? We sang the AIM song. I told everybody in the room, I said, this song is sung at all major Native American events. We call it our national anthem. So if I could get everybody to please stand, senators, city council members, the mayor, the attorney general, everybody in that room stood while we sang the AIM song. And I told him, I said, when we were having that meeting at Little Earth in the garden, I said, I was hoping that we were planting seeds of trust and accountability, community, so we can move forward. 2 weeks ago, and I said, we have to have this meeting. We got to talk about the DOJ report. I said, my community has suffered immensely all these decades at the hands of the city and the Minneapolis police, and we need restitution. We need land back. We need something. We can't just say, yeah, you guys did wrong. Let's sing Kumbaya and move forward together. I said, no, we got to pause. We got to stop and look back at the damage that was done to our community. So right now I'm setting up a community meeting for people to come in and say, this is what happened to me. This is what happened to me. My dad's still in jail because drugs were planted. You know, all the shit that our people have been through by the hands of the Minneapolis police, we knew what was going on. The city knew what was going on. The police certainly knew what was going on. But because of the DOJ report and the Department of Health report, now the whole world knows what the hell is going on. And we ain't going to let it slide. You know, after the riots, and then Frank got a contract with the city, through the police, to sit at powwow grounds and be community observers. That's what they're to be. They sit there, they have a little drum, they have a little picnic, but they got all the funding from the police, and now they're trying to get a 501c3 again so they can get more city funding and more county funding so they can be the rubber stamp for the hangers around the fort.
Well, I'd like to know how they're gonna get that 501c3 back, because it's been inactive for a good number of years, And when I was looking at it, my sister actually went on the Federal Registry and looked at it because she's a CPA, and she goes, in order for them to get it back, she's sitting there calculating the numbers, and she said they would have to pay the federal government because they haven't reported their financial reports in over 10 years. They would have to pay almost $1 million just to re-register that name. They haven't been registered in a long time.
Huh. Well, let's
get back. That's the reason why they could not or did not help me against Bob Rocha, because they didn't even own the name or the logo at that time. So there's nothing they could have done to protect the name and logo. They still can't.
I told you that when that happened. I said, you know what? When that was coming down with you, I knew they were fishy, because they should have jumped right on that legally and told that Rocha guy to get the hell on. But they didn't do that. So I knew they were phony then. But here's the deal. It's time running short here. Our people, all the indigenous people in this north and south, we have to remember and teach our children who we are. We're not like them Washitu invasive species that tell their kids they're Americans when they're not. Lie to them. Our kids are somebody, our children. And Tonshi prays about that. And they come now. They're coming. We're, you know, me and Tanashi here, we're planning on hanging for another 30 years, but, you know, kind of bent up already. But we're going for it. Yeah.
You know, the thing about this American Indian movement, like, you know, it's this GGC, all this registering and stuff. It bothers me. You know, the reason why I say that is because why do you have to bring any Washitu into it? You know, they owe us a lot of money. They owe us rent. But yet you get people like this registering to be with the Washitu. Oh, that's the way. No, it isn't. Indians got to stand up for themselves and say, hey, this is it. You know, and that's what American Indian movement is about. But yet, look at how far it's gone. You know,
they're
getting
supposed to
money from police.
Us.
Yeah.
They're supposed to register with us to use that name America.
Yeah.
They're supposed to register with us to have the name South Dakota or Minnesota.
Yeah.
We're the ones they register with. We ain't supposed to be registered to them. Our people are split and divided on that, because I argued with some AIM guys, and one guy in particular, he said, well, I ain't going to have my kids raised like the way I was. I want them to be able to make it in this country. You know? In his brain, he thinks they got to be American.
Nope.
And getting back to what I said, that lady, those women wearing that outfit to be having to wear it, they don't want to wear it. But I see here in this country, I even seen Indian women wearing that, trying to look like Muslims now. They think that looks cool. I seen Washitu Americans wearing that stuff. But here they are trying to attack another culture. You see, our culture is the most important over here.
Yep.
And I mean, you know, Tanashi says Lakota because that means all of us, you know. That means all of us from north, south, east, and west. The four now, that's our four directions. We're the people. And, you know, people forget that. And I wish the American Indian Movement, when Russell and all them in the beginning, it was for our people and justice and to preserve culture. When they went to Lexi Crow Dog and gave him Opage, for the American Indian movement, it was to preserve the spirituality of the indigenous people. And the American Indian movement lost that. Most of them don't even know nothing about it, you know. They don't even care, you know. All they want to do is wear a fancy French hat and wear a million patches and look like bikers going down the road with a costume, you know. And
I do.
I mean, my grandma told me, a man perfect in all things is too perfect to be a man. And I notice all these fake people like to wear a lot of, they're the ones really showing off with the AIM stuff. And the women, the fake women wearing the ribbon dress. One was on Facebook. Yeah, I made my first women dress. She's 30-something years old and made her first ribbon dress. Well, my sister's been making them since they were 5 and 6 years old. My daughter's 9 years old sewing up. You know,
wow.
I mean, we're raised this way. We don't show up just because we want to be somebody. AIM makes us somebody. AIM don't make us somebody. We make AIM. We're the ones. The people made American Indian Movement. All these thousands of indigenous natives all from all over Mexico.
There is no grand governing council. We are the grand governing council. That's what it is. It boils down to that. We all are, not just a group of people.
Yep. And when somebody's being a rapist or a pedophile or ripping off, we know who they are. They get the word from us. We jam them up. You know, we don't need them American Indians to tell us what to do. And when they made their name American Indian Movement in the beginning, that was back in the 60s, remember that? It was because it was like a slap in their face, a slap in the Americans' face. And they didn't like it. And that's the biggest racist they have is because we went over there, our people went over there and said, yeah, we'll use your name. You know, see how you like it, you know, and that's where it is today. So here we are and Mike,
all of us are the grand governing council. There's not a group of people that could determine if you're going to have a chapter or not. No, American Indian belongs to all of us. So whoever's trying to say, give you a charter or whatever, BS with that stuff. Do what you got to do for the native people and call yourself American Indian Movement, because that's what it's about. It's not about a group of people trying to give you chapters and women trying to do this.
Hold on now, time's fine. We're all working in our own area. You're working in Minneapolis, Phillips in Ohio, Wayne's another part of Ohio. I'm here on the res. Tanshi's out. My brother's living over there in California, but we all represent our people, and we all do what we have to in our communities and our societies to carry on and preserve. We don't need chapters. We don't need all that stuff, you know, and you're doing a good job over there, Mike, and Philip's doing a good job over there, you know, and everybody plays a part. Wayne, he plays a part, you know. He saves our ass sometimes. And you know what? And keep this in mind, you know, our women are important.
Oh.
And we have to always keep them and the children. And with that, I want to tell Ursula, thanks for stopping in. Do you have any comments before we go?
No, just that was a good show. Enjoy it.
Thank you. You know, and Ursula, remember, her dad made the AIM song. Her brothers all sing. I know them well. I know their family. I know their mom. You know? And I know them. They're singers from the heart. That's all they know, all their life. So when they say who made the AIM song, we know where it came from. You know, And her dad was, I mean, he was older than me, so I know he was carrying the tradition way before I was born, and I was born in 1950, you know. So her family's been doing this since the beginning of time. They carry that Shanchega. And, you know, so I thank her for being here. Mike, you got any last comments? And thank you for being here.
Well, I guess the most important thing I can say is I really do want to tell you I appreciate your support, appreciate what you guys are doing. And I would like to see if we couldn't make a commitment to actually get together, actually have a meeting, actually bring all the AIM, I don't want to say chapters anymore, but to AIM people together and just get to know each other and talk about what's going on and network and give each other advice. And, you know, I think we need something like that once again.
We do. I agree. Because, you know what?
I agree, too.
We need something happening where there's not led by a leader but led in prayer. You know? We always remember the drum and how AIM. I don't know where that Chanupa went or who has it, but I ain't seen that Chanupa, so it's probably, you know, it was important at a time. But that Chanupa, one time we were at Wounded Knee, and they didn't even show, that Chanupa didn't even show up. And they said, oh, well, we didn't know, you know, they make excuses. But you know what? In our way, when you're given a Chanupa, you carry that. You bring it and pray with it. And same way with the drum. It's an honor. So, Wayne, you have any last comments?
Yeah. Good show tonight. And, Mike, I'll get with you later, and I'll probably fly in to see you. I'm up for that, for meeting up and building AIM. And the upliftment of our people. And by the way, I just want to say as well, as I probably said before, the Washichu doesn't have any culture. No matter where you go, where they're at, they still have the same exact things. Okay? McDonald's, whatever. You can go to Canada, through America, wherever they set up their little imaginary border lines. They have no culture. That's why they always have to copy off of us. Even the gay whites get their culture from the blacks or the Hopsa.
Okay. Philip.
Yeah, just a really great show. I'm glad Mike came on, and I've spoken with him in the past, and he knows that I'm up for a meeting like that. We've talked about this before. I'm glad it's still on the table, and you guys have a great weekend, what's left of it.
No.
Right on.
Oh, we'll say a prayer and we'll close it up. That's Kukash Laki Piak, and you can't show on the Mong Lakona. Elkigrish, the book of Kukashla, the most washed in a woke day yank, the Hoichi Chapel of Kukashla. You are Unshinkilon, you think of Wakanja and Wakalaki Kukashla. Let's die to be Chaik Silko. You are Unshinkilon, we chose on it, Kukashla, Hoichi Chapunko. You are Unkiape, J. Chashi Unshana. Ох, пани чапелоску кашло. Ушу лапо. Хау, ми так ясно.
Хау.
Хау. Хау. And with that, how? We're going to head out and докша ке.
Докша.
You know, you're going to die at all. Make some money.
there's never-ending rain. I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free.
Ha nem a vecsutó, én a tapsal pedig tudom, hogy Jüskén a kevon kicsi alkotta.